How easily does that happen? Sometimes we are really passionate about something and we start doing the right things for some reason. Start living in the right way for some reason. We start saying the right things for some reason. But our eyes, and for me at least, mostly my feelings, get in the way. I lose that motivation and that passion. This reminds me of when Jesus, while walking on the water, called Peter out of the boat in Matthew 14. And if you have a Bible... Right. If you have a Bible close to hand or a Bible app, why don't you open your Bibles at Matthew 14? And we'll start reading at verse 25. We're going to read a couple of verses throughout the rest of the talk, so hold your Bibles handy, keep them handy. So I'll read from verse 25 to 33. It says this: Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. So what happened before this? Jesus fed the 5,000, and then he sent them on a boat to cross this lake or the sea, and he stayed behind praying on his own. So shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. Amazing stuff. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You have little faith," he said. "Why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." We have to keep in mind here that walking on water wasn't Peter's main calling on his life. And I don't think it's anyone's specific calling. Your calling on your life is to walk on water. I don't think that happens. I may be wrong, but I don't think that happens. But it illustrates what happens sometimes what happens to us sometimes. We can get distracted by money or the lack thereof. We can get distracted by our circumstances, or the seeming prosperity or even calling that we see in others. We may think that our calling is not as significant as someone else's. Have you ever experienced that? I certainly have. How wrong we can be. By God's wonderful grace, we are always encouraged back to the truth. God loves us and wants to be with us. We are special to Him. We are important to Him. We are loved by Him. He shows us we're worth saving through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So first and foremost, each one of us, God calls us into a relationship with Himself. First and foremost, God calls us into a relationship with Himself. What can we do to keep on course? What can we do to get this, to not be distracted? How can we, as called loved ones of God, keep from distraction? Distraction is all around us, and the sad thing is we'll never be rid of it on earth. There'll always be distractions on earth. The only way forward is to overcome them. And how do we do that? I found the following three things very helpful. Pray, read the Bible, and do what you hear when praying and see when reading the Bible. This takes effort. It takes energy. And it sometimes means doing the thing that really scares you. Like Peter getting out of a boat on a stormy sea, on a stormy lake. It must have been scary, but he did it. Or doing the things that are unpopular sometimes. Like Jesus throwing the money changers out of the temple in Jerusalem. It wasn't a popular move. If you wanted to win a popularity contest, that was probably not the way to do it. But sometimes our calling to be in a relationship, in a loving, growing relationship with God, means that sometimes we'll have to do the unpopular thing or the scary thing. If you want to overcome distractions, remember these three things. Pray, read, and do. Pray, read, and do. Firstly, God calls us into a relationship with Himself. Let's watch the next bit of the movie. So after a disappointing attempt at becoming a pro wrestler and neglecting his duties in the monastery in the process, Nacho, Jack Black, Nacho has a conversation with Sister Encarnacion, who encourages him to repent and pray. So let's see what happens next. It's scene 17. The truth comes out. His secret is out. When we are called by God, which we all are, we have to remember that God will never call us to be someone or something other than what He made us. He will never call us to be something or someone else. We may think we have, or we have to look like that trendy worship leader, or Patrick. Or we have to speak like that other anointed what's-his-name on the God channel. We can't be further from the truth. Listen to what David says in Psalm 139 from verse 13. If you want to read that with me, or if you just want to listen, that's fine. The Psalm 139 from verse 13, it says this: "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I'm still with you." God made us. God made us. But He made each one of us fearfully and wonderfully and very, very much unique. Even though there are similarities to how we are made and how we are loved by God, each one of us is loved by God equally. We're all made differently, and rightly so, because we live in different areas, we work at different places, we get to meet different people, and we relate to them in different ways. Even Paul shares this sentiment when he writes to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 12. I'm going to read verse 4 to 7 and then 12 to 14. He speaks about the gifts of the Holy Spirit in the church. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Always for the common good. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. And so the body is not made up of one part, but of many. We're all part of the same body, but we're all made differently. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? He writes this regarding the spiritual gifts people were given by the Holy Spirit. But we have to remember that God calls us, firstly, into a relationship with Him, freer, more real expression of who He made us to be. Firstly, He calls us into a relationship with Himself. Secondly, to be more who He made us to be. How do we find out who we are? Who we have been made to be? Listen carefully. Three things. We pray, we read, and we do. It is by spending time with God, praying and reading the Bible, that we get to know Him and we get to know who we are in Him. It is by doing what He asks us that we learn who we were made to be, what we are passionate about, what our gifts are, and how our lives are relevant, and why us being here now matters. Back to the movie. Let's see what happens next. Please excuse the melodrama and the bare-chestedness. I think the best bit of the movie is just after this, actually, but we're not going to get there now. It's just really funny. It has no meaning at all. It's just really, really funny. So watch the movie if you want. What happens just before this, Nacho loses the wrestling match that he promised he would win with the help of God and the 10,000 pesos he promised. So Yeah, he lost that match, and he is expelled from the monastery. So sometimes we'll get it wrong. We're human after all. But even if we don't get it wrong, there will be times when we're in the wilderness, rickety old shelter that we've built ourselves. There'll be times when we feel God is distant. There'll be times when we feel like we don't know what we're called to do anymore. There'll be amazing times of blessing, but be sure of this, there will be times of great, great struggle. Jesus warns us and encourages us in John 16, verse 33, where he says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. What an amazing piece of encouragement. Jesus has overcome the world. And if we're part of his body, we're also part of his victory. This is what Romans 5, verse 3 to 5 says. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. We may suffer, yes. We may have difficulties, surely. But one thing is certain, we won't go through them on our own. The Israelites went through the wilderness before they got to the promised land. Elijah flees to the wilderness after God defeats the prophets against them. Jesus restarts. Can we really expect anything less for ourselves? What to do when we're in the wilderness, though? What do we do? How do we keep going when the going gets tough? These three things are very important. We pray, we read, and we do. We pray even when we don't feel God's nearness. We read the Bible because that's God's word, even though we don't understand it always. We carry on reading the Bible. We do what we're supposed to, whether we feel like it or not, whether we are rewarded or not. We pray, we read, and we do, even in the wilderness. God calls us firstly into a relationship with himself, secondly into a truer reflection of who he made us, and thirdly, he calls us all into the wilderness at some point, where we're tested, where we're formed, and where we're made stronger. Would you like to see the last bit of the movie? We have time. So, this is what happened. Nacho got the opportunity to fight the best fighter in the world, and he beats him in a gripping match that we won't watch now. So, let's watch what happens next. What an ending. What an ending to a movie. It's just an absolute, absolute happy ending. Nacho won the fight and bought the bus. He promised to take the orphans on field trips and to the parks and stuff. Everyone, trouble and struggling in this world, but we are called to another world beyond this one. This is what Paul writes to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16 and 18. He says, therefore we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. One day, the world as we know it will end, and we'll be with the Father, where there will be no suffering or darkness, just the pure, unhindered presence of God. I've skipped to the end of this book. Guess what? We win. So firstly, God calls us into a relationship with him. Secondly, he calls us into a truer reflection of who he made us to be. And thirdly, he calls us into the wilderness. And lastly, one day, he will call us all home. Amen.